Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Jeffrey Grubb, who is a former filmmaker and former college teacher. He has his own radio show, The Antimatter Show. He has an interest in many, many subjects, including out-of-the-body experiences, hypnagogia, clairvoyance, dreams, precognition. And his main interests are metaphysical practices, reading, writing, guns, political activism, and meditation. And if that isn't enough, he actually finds time to write books. He's already written three, and we're going to discuss his latest one called Telementation, Cosmic Feeling, and the Law of Attraction. So welcome to the program, Jeff.
Thank you very much for having me on your show today.
Well, having read your book, I'm extremely interested in what you had to write, which is very well done indeed, and obviously looking forward to discussing it with you. But tell me firstly, with your wide variety of interests, where did all this start for you?
Well, I would say when I was 21 years old, I was a college student studying astrophysics at Michigan State University, and I came across a book called Walden by Henry David Thoreau, and that book absolutely jarred me completely, and it turned everything I thought upside down, and my life was completely changed ever since that point. And I've been basically, since that time, studying absolutely everything I can, and I've, some themes have been stronger than others in my life, such as Buddhism has been one of the strongest themes in my life, and also physics and conspiracy theory. Probably those three are the biggest. And yeah, I've just been had an absolute. I guess it's in my numerology, with my birth energies and so forth, that I'm absolutely obsessed with knowing things and with spiritual practices. So probably that I was confused and lost before I read Henry David Thoreau's book Walden, and that really set me on the course. I never knew there was a whole, if you grow up in the American education system, you never know there's a whole other world of things to think about and verifiable information. They sort of teach you that the only thing, only information is their information, which is all pretty much a bunch of garbage. And yeah. I would say the original impetus was that right there.
Yeah. Well, certainly your interests, by and large, are very much like my own. So that should enable us to have plenty to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
But what prompted you to go into writing books? I mean, that's quite a task at times.
Oh, yeah. I was a college teacher from 2001 until last year, about a little over a year ago. And during that time, I published quite a few academic articles. While I was a grad student, I published quite a few as well. And I wrote before that as well, but I always have just had this passion to just work out new empirical evidence for things and new philosophies and so forth. And that's really that drives where it comes from. And then I used academia for a while to do that. And that I didn't fit in academia at all. I finally found that out. They finally just got rid of me at one school I was teaching at, and then I quit at the other one. I was teaching at two different schools. And now I'm just doing radio, and my writing has shifted from publishing academic articles to publishing books. I've got my first book was Corporatism, The Secret Governments of the New World Order, which is selling very well on Amazon. And my second book is the one that you referenced, Telementation, Cosmic Feeling and the Law of Attraction. That's really basically just my Buddhist meditation manual, and it's actually written from the perspective of all religions, but mainly Buddhism and Christianity. And that's my manual on how to carry out what people usually call the law of attraction. That's a theosophical phrase from Madame Blavatsky, but I call it telementation for a number of reasons. But yeah, that's where all the writing interests come from. Just I'd like to pride myself in saying that on my radio show and in my books, you get information you've never heard before. And I think a lot of people have confirmed and saying that's definitely true. There's a lot of new stuff on my radio show and in my writings.
How many times a week do you broadcast?
My radio show is at antimatterradio.com, and it's basically it's just run through that website, and then I've one night a week I'm on the Freedomizer Radio Network on Tuesday nights, and then so it's really pretty much daily during the midday, and then Tuesday nights. And the daily show is by subscription. It's under $3 a month. So it's a lot of fun and some good information for people.
Right. I mean, with all this going on, do you hold down a daytime job as well?
Nope. What I do is just live off those subscriptions and off the book royalties. The book royalties have been getting pretty handsome on my first book, Corporatism. So that's been nice. And my wife and I live very, very cheaply, which is by design, so we can stay home and spend more time with our children. And yes, we're pretty much with them all the time, and it's a good life. When you get out of the life of addiction of American culture, television, big houses, and junk food, there's a whole world of love and beauty just awaiting everybody, and that's what we're striving to do.
Right, yes. Now, this word, telementation, is that one you've made up?
Oh, no, that's a good question. No, the word telementation, I've had a lot of people ask me that. Where does that word come from? Did you make it up? And no, I didn't. It comes from Atkinson in his book. I forgot the name of it. Slips in my mind. It's on my shelf behind me here. His book, Mind Power, it's called. The Secret Power of Mental Magic, William Walker Atkinson. And in that book, he calls the law of attraction telementation. And I thought that was the perfect word. Our consciousness, you can verify, acts outside of the brain. I mean, the academics in contemporary America just don't do these experiments, so they therefore think that it doesn't exist, that there's, you know, the mind is just some kind of activity of neurons in the brain, which is, of course, completely unverifiable, and there's no evidence that consciousness has really much of anything to do except some mild correlations with our brain matter. And it probably what consciousness has to do with is the magnetite crystal, which is in our brain, spread all throughout our brains. And that was actually discovered by academics at Caltech in 1992, and they rarely discuss it, unfortunately, probably because it's a hot topic. And it's a very extraordinary issue when you get to the real nature of consciousness.
Right. Now, I gather that what your book puts over is a specific type of meditation that centers on the law of attraction, and you relate that in a way that you say if you feel and know something deeply enough within your consciousness, it will materialize in the physical reality. Now, is that the basic message and purpose of your book?
Yes, absolutely. I've been sort of not to pick sides and do any bashing or infighting or anything, but let me just put it this way: the book, The Secret, very, very interesting book. Let me just start off by saying that. But I never could get telementation to work, the law of attraction to work. They basically focus mainly on visualization and belief, and then things like knowingness and feeling are put as second priority, if even that. And I never could get telementation to work, law of attraction to work, doing that with visualization and belief. But on the other hand, if I focused on deep, deep feeling and this concept of what's called knowingness, which I can explain in just a second, I could make telementation work so powerfully that things would literally even materialize within seconds. In fact, I just did that last night, sitting on my porch with something. It's almost, at first when you realize it, it's almost, you know, jaw-dropping and spooky, but you get used to it after a while and realize that this is actually our real nature. You know, it says in the Bible, Jesus says your faith can move that mountain, and that we're in the image of the Creator. So if we're in the image of creators, of the Creator, we must be creators. So this explains where, you know, why Jesus says, you know, your faith can move that mountain. And I've seen things happen with myself and some of my radio show listeners, where things as powerful as moving mountains have actually happened. We keep it quiet, though. We don't tell anybody because nobody will, many people would just deny it. It wouldn't understand. It wouldn't treat the information properly. And it's also not for sensationalism. It's for peace and happiness and the well-being of the planet. And so there's no point in trying to, get fame or anything. I mean, one person's consciousness, when it's charged with its inner power and its meditational powers, it can be stronger than the whole consciousness of the whole rest of the world put together. So the consciousness of the average person is just extraordinarily weak in its normal state, because it's usually governed by this weird thing called the ego, which is sort of a covering or a shell that surrounds our real consciousness, which is inside. And the ego really isn't even part of us. It's not even. It's sort of a strange thing. It's not even really human. What is real is what is inside our consciousness, inside that ego shell, which is called a soul, or what I call in the book Telementation a feeling mass. And it's nothing spooky or mysterious. If anybody listening to this show just went to your room tonight, or wherever your quiet space is, and just try to feel your feelings a bit, and then do that every day for a week or so, and go a little deeper and a little deeper every time, you'll come to points or states within yourself, and you'll start to learn how to get there pretty easily, where the feelings get they feel very powerful, and they're almost—it's almost like a hum, and it's almost like the feeling doesn't change. It's just this really powerful and wonderful feeling inside of you that's just sitting there at all moments, and usually we don't notice because we're looking away, we're looking outside at the world rather than inside at our spiritual world that's inside of us, and it's that powerful feeling state that is really connected to the existence of everything and the wellspring of everything. And if what you do is, if in existing in that feeling, deep feeling oriented state, which is very easy to access once you just have a teeny bit of practice. Most people just give up. They'll say, oh, I couldn't do it. I tried for 5 minutes, and then they go back to watching TV for 6 hours or something. I say, well, why don't you switch that around? Why don't you watch TV for 5 minutes and practice this for, well, not even 6 hours, just how about for, 15 minutes every night for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. Don't give up right away. But in that deep feeling state, if you have to couple that with what I call, lately I've been referring to it as knowingness. It's not the term I use in the book, because I thought of it more recently after writing the book. But it's not really a belief. It's you convince yourself beyond the shadow of a doubt that a certain something that you want to want to be real in reality is real. For example, if you want, if you need some money, let's just go to a really practical example. You will, in that deep state of feeling, you will put a thought into your consciousness that money exists in your possession now, and you know it so deeply that you've convinced yourself so completely in that thought that you just absolutely know that it's true. And if you do that, if you couple that deep feeling with that beyond a shadow of a doubt thought of knowing, whatever it is that you are targeting, whatever it is that the thought is about, will come into existence either, within a few seconds, or maybe it would take a week or something, but it will happen. And it always happens in a way that you will never expect. It's a very playful, wonderful, joyful process. It never ceases to amaze me, because I'm doing telementation constantly. I always do it for very peaceful and wonderful things, help for my family and friends. And lately I've been doing sort of global projects, peace and things for the world. Trying to make things manifest that way. And it always is just amazing, because people, when they start doing this, will say, I wonder how my target's going to manifest. Something that you want to manifest, I call it target in the book.
Yes.
And it's really pointless. Usually that's just something people do when they're beginners, starting in the telementational process, because it's absolutely pointless to try to imagine how it'll happen, because it never happens in the way you think. It's always a surprise. And down to really almost funny examples. One time I remember I was, there's been two times I've done telementation for money. And the second time I was almost convinced, I was thinking in my mind, oh, it's going to happen in a way I just, that beyond a shadow of doubt, I won't know how it's going to happen. And then when it manifested a couple days later, it happened in exactly the way that I thought it was going to happen. So you see the humor in that. That was one of the times that I had it firmly in my mind that I wouldn't know how it happened. And then that specific time, to my unexpectedness, it happened exactly as I originally thought. So it's a very fun and playful process, really. The universe really is a joyful place. We're tricked into thinking it's not, because we're stuck in cubicles and we've got these disintegrating families and very horrible governments doing all kinds of crazy war and all these things. But really, the cosmos is actually very joyful and beautiful, and all you need to do is just go walk through a forest to remember this. And it's just, yes, there's so much life and positivity and energy everywhere. That, and we, to show our lack of humanness that we've descended to as people in the world, we've just forgotten this. We think the war, we think, you know, we go to our universities and they'll tell us that, oh, war is inevitable and economic recessions are inevitable, and the way out of economic recession is war. They'll tell us these absurd things, which aren't even true in our universities. I mean, if that were true, you know, for just that one example there, if war really was ended by economic, if economic recessions were ended by war, well, I say, well, that's funny, because America hasn't been in this much warfare in some time, and the recessions and depression started after. So it makes, you know, completely absurd things that academics tell us. But so, yeah, the universe, the cosmos, really is a wonderful place. We just have to get back in touch with the creative principle behind everything, and which is inside of us and everything else.
Right. So you're saying we manifest what we believe in and feel, and you did mention that some things can literally manifest very quickly. Now, presumably, you're not necessarily talking of material things. Give us an example of something that's happened very quickly.
Okay. One recent one, when I had somebody in my family who was sick a month ago. My radio listeners aren't familiar with this story. And I had to sort of drop everything and cancel my radio show for several days. Well, it was only 3 days, but I altered several things with my radio show my whole life. I had to just drop everything immediately and stop to do instant, all-out, very intensive meditation and telemeditation to help someone who had a real problem with sickness. That was 4 weeks ago, and now the person has no symptoms, and they had an incurable disease. Now, I'm not saying this to try to sound like a savior or something, and a lot of people won't even believe this when they hear it. And, you know, in a way, that's good, because the people that don't, you know, they're not interested in this anyways, and it's probably not a topic for them. But the rest of us will recognize, I mean, the rest of the people listening will recognize, you have a, when I say that, you know that inside of you is the very same principle, that you have that ability as well. This is who we are. And you can sense that what I've just said I've done, you can do too. It's not that I'm special in any way. But that's one example. Let me give you another. This is a really good one. When I'm in my most intensive meditational states, for example, say I go to a store. This is a literal thing that just happened not too long ago. There's a natural market not too far from my house here where I go get lettuce and things like that. Now, if I'm in my most powerful meditative state, I can go to the market, and when I stand near people, when I'm in their proximity, say I, you know, rather than on the other side of the store, 40 feet away from them, I'm walk down the same aisle as them or something, I can see them physically change. They become, you know, more smiley and happier, and all of a sudden just almost in a jovial in a way that they're just sort of drunk, so to speak, with happiness. And I mean, I can go all over from store to store, and whoever I get near in this sort of a meditative state this happens to, and this is a sort of an indirect telementational result where my ecstasy and meditation is clearly vibrating into their and intervibrating with their consciousness. And it's it's instantly apparent. I mean, people will just start smiling. And it's very rare in America to see people walking around with, you know, very large, genuine smiles of happiness around them when they're walking around. This will happen, and they don't know what's overcome them. And I know a lot of people probably find this hard to believe. A lot of people aren't used to thinking about life as being this way. This isn't how things are supposed to be. It's supposed to be hard and Hobbesian, and, you know, it's a long life and living in a cubicle, and then we die. We're programmed to think this way. So the reality I'm talking about is very strange to people often. And that's fine if you think that. I mean, I mean, if we think that all there is TV and that's all there has been, fine. But clearly that's not what humanity's history is all about. I know from your background, you know, I mean, you've got a big background, you know, with ancient history and the real origins of humans and so forth. And, I mean, if you study the American Indians, they were telemetation experts and still are in ways, of course, but they, of course, were invaded and corrupted by Catholic Church and other groups that really just did unspeakable things to destroy their family structure, which many people don't even know in America, but it's in the history books and in the and even Indians still alive can tell the stories. But to take them, for example, I mean, their way of life is and was so different from any kind of, you know, get up in the morning, throw the kids in the car and rush off to work, throw the kids in the daycare and then go to work. Don't like your job that much, but you stay there all day and devote your livelihood, or your, not livelihood, your life force to it, and then rush home and then watch TV for 3 hours and do the whole thing the next day. This is why we have depression, and, you know, 20% of Americans on Prozac or something. And, but we have to understand this is not normal at all. What I'm talking about is normal. Go read some Buddhist texts. Go read the Bible. You know, what Jesus said. What I'm talking about is the normal way people are. The American Indians will verify that. And, you know, living in the cubicle and having no awareness that you're a life force and being completely despiritualized is not normal. That's where you can have a culture that goes to war, kills children in Pakistan and doesn't think anything of it and just, you know, oh, we killed another 1,000 people in Afghanistan. Well, just give me some more beer and football. It's pretty amazing.
Indeed, yes. Now, when you started to practice this telementation, did it take you very long to get into it before you were successful?
No, it took me almost no time, and there's a reason why that's the case, and that's because I've been a very, very strict Buddhist ever since the early 1990s. Really, 93, 94, right in there, it took over my life and always has been the force behind my life since. So I noticed in the 1990s, I didn't really care about money or anything back then. There wasn't really, all I wanted to do was just sort of wander around and read books and just meditate. And I didn't really, there wasn't really anything I wanted. And I was very go with the flow and all that. So there was no reason for me to do telementation. But on the other hand, I noticed that if very overtly, I mean almost repeatedly, week to week, day to day in some cases, that when I was in my most intensive meditation states, if I would just simply think of something, I would notice in some amount of time, you know, whether very short or out a little bit, you know, a week or whatever, it would materialize in some way. And these correlations were extremely overt. And I was pretty inundated, and I really filled my mind with Buddhist philosophy, and, you know, a lot of Buddhist philosophers will say things like, you know, consciousness creates reality. So I really didn't think much of it. Then I just knew that this is how it was. And I was heavily into quantum physics at the time as well, and I knew that a lot of quantum physics research sort of implies the same thing, that consciousness actually is the force of creativity and reality, not, you know, something like randomness or something like, you know, or whatever, who knows what, you know, other ideas people have for that. But, so I knew that that was the case, but then in the 2000s, in the last 8 years or so and so forth, I've needed, you know, things like house and money and success and so forth. And so then I decided, well, maybe I'll focus this ability to get certain things, such as peace or such as money. There's been, like I said, there's been 2 times I needed money and so forth. So I started to just really learn how to focus in this power. And so I knew how to do it immediately by just because I was first doing Buddhist meditation. But the average person, I will say this, the average person probably who's listening to this show is familiar with the book The Secret or the film The Secret, and in there they tell you, oh, you can learn it in 5 minutes. And there's a really good review on Amazon somebody wrote about my book Telemeditation. It's the first one, I believe. And they said, you know, most of the, you know, if you follow The Secret, I think this is what it says, if you follow The Secret, it almost makes you feel like you're an ignoramus if you can't pick up the law of attraction in 5 minutes. And there, nothing could be further from the truth. I specifically point out in my book that that is not true. And that's why you can talk to 100 people who've read the book The Secret, and you're going to talk to 99 of them who say, you know, I never could get it to work. And that's because we humans live through what is called the egotistical consciousness, as I said earlier. And what that is our personality, which is filled with fear and desire and so forth. Now, that's not who we are. And it takes, to learn how to do telementation, you have to go beneath that. You have to go behind that and around that to what you really are, which is this deep soul, this feeling-oriented soul called the feeling mass in my book, Telementation. So it takes, if you don't do that, you will not succeed. You will not do telementation. You will continue to live a life where you feel that you're just pushed around by the forces of life. Now, it takes some time to learn how to do that. If people have only known their egotistical consciousness their whole life, to learn how to get around that is, you know, you may need a week to, you know, practice it a little bit. You may need more than 5 minutes or something. So I completely agree with the people, with respect to them, because they've done a good service by bringing this to the world, letting us all remember what the ancients all knew, that this power is the force of the cosmos. So it's a wonderful job they've done, but some of their technique is what I'm saying I do not agree with, and this is one issue. Another thing is telementation is extremely and unfathomably powerful. I'm learning this more and more as I go through the years here. I've just had some things happen recently that just remind me of how powerful this process is, and it's not a toy. It's not. It is ecstatic, and it is playful and so forth, like I said, but it is not something, you know, you don't use it to, in a way where you're not careful, because it's extremely powerful. And there's ways that you can lose control of it. So there's no, if you do it slowly and learn how to do it properly and with patience and start off with small goals, then there's no danger or anything. But if you just jump into it in the wrong way, I do personally think there is danger. And even the people who wrote the book, The Secret, address this. And I know there's a lot of people who say, you know, the consciousness is not controllable. In a lot of ways, you know, there's a book out there, I forgot the name of it, but it says, you know, try not to think of a polar bear right now. Everybody out there, try not to think of a polar bear. And every single person out there just thought of a polar bear. The image flashed in your mind, the big white polar bear. Okay, so I mean, that's an issue. I mean, if you're trying to channel your consciousness to manifest things, but you can't control it, that means you can manifest accidentally things you don't want to manifest. And that is a real issue. And that's specifically what my book, gets around, because the way you do telementation is not, that's why I've been against doing it through visualization, because we can't control visualization. So you have to do telementation to the aspects of your consciousness that you can control, such as thoughts. Thought is very easy to control. It's extremely easy, and feeling is even easier. And visualization is completely out of control, so it's the last thing that you'd want to use to try to really focus if you're going to, I mean, when you enter these high-powered vibratory states of consciousness that I'm talking about, when you go in deep into your feelings, there's major power here. You're dealing with something more powerful than an atomic bomb. And so there's some care. You can't just go into it saying, you can learn it in 5 minutes and it's so, so easy. No, that's not true. If it's easy or not is not even really a relevant issue. That doesn't even make any sense in the context. What it is it's an ecstatic process. It's a transformation. You, to some degree or another, your telementation practice has to be fun, okay? Or else you're not going to do it. I mean, everybody out there knows when you've tried to do something where, you know, if you're not getting paid for it and it's just something, a hobby of yours, if it's not fun, you didn't keep up with it and you just put it aside, okay? So if telementation is the same way with you, you will not succeed. It has to be fun. And that's actually the good thing here, is because telementation is absolutely ecstatic. When you delve into your soul and live at the soul level, your soul is defined as freedom and ecstasy. So your life, to some degree, will become freedom and ecstasy. So you'll start to want to go back to this point. You'll think to yourself, oh, I get to go and get the mail now, and I have 10 seconds all to myself where I get to walk out in the driveway, listen to the birds, and just be all by myself in my little meditative mode that I've practiced and am good at now, and I can just go to whenever I want, and I can practice a little bit of telementation just for 20 or 30 seconds or whatever it takes me to go get the mail, and it's just absolute heaven, and you're so excited for moments like that. That's the way you really succeed at telementation, this practice. It cannot feel like work. It has to feel like absolute play, and like your consciousness is just a little sanctity that you can run to when you need to, and just and in some ways you're going to become a little bit like Henry David Thoreau, a little bit like Buddha, a little bit like Jesus, a little bit like Mother Teresa, or St. Paul on Damascus Road is another good example. you know, I'm not saying you will fully, I mean, some of you may become, you know, have an all-out Damascus Road experience, but in some way, you need to loosen up that personality, the ego, and it can't have such control of you. You need to, in some ways, let the deeper spiritual forces that you really are be unleashed and live through those. So,
indeed, yes. Now, I think what is very useful in your book is you do make the point of telling the readers that it is not just about getting what you want, but what you will yourself to receive. And that is different, isn't it, to most people's concept of the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that's a very good question. Now, some people have said to me, Jeff, why don't you just will yourself to get $1 million? And the answer to that is because I don't have passion for that, okay? Telemetation works best in the things that you're really interested in. When you do telemetation, you become this ecstatic, well, you go back to more of your ecstatic real self, your soul, which is, again, just those deep feelings. It's in there, and those deep feelings that you have that are going through you at all moments, whether you know it or not. Again, if you're looking at the TV all day, or you're, you know, all the paperwork in your cubicle all day, then you're not going to know what your soul is because you're never looking inside at it. And people are going to say, you have a soul, and you're going to say, what? I don't understand what you're talking about. I do not. So now, in some way, when you turn that whole process around and become a real human, an ecstatic human, like the American Indian medicine man, for example, to some degree, whether a lot or a little, the whole process of your life becomes filled with joy, and I forgot what was specifically your question again. I remember I was going towards it with what you were saying.
Well, I was commenting on your good advice in the book about not just getting or thinking about what you want, but what you will yourself to receive.
Yes. Yeah, you find that in your ecstatic state, you don't want all the things that people normally think you want. The average person thinks that, oh, what I want is all this money and fame and all that. No, those aren't products of the egotistical consciousness. Okay, but pay attention to the fact that if you're disintegrating your egotistical consciousness a little bit in order to learn telementation, you might not desire all those same things that the egotistically oriented human desires, like fame, like money, like everybody doting over them and things like that. No, you may want actually deeper things like love, real connection to other people. That's a big one with me. Compassion may overtake you. You may want peace. You may just want a home that has a forest behind it or something like that. That may be when you become a more ecstatic person or actually just become more of what you are, you may just become consumed with, you may have one target. I want a home in the mountains or something like that. If that's what you really want, then you don't need $1 million. So when people say, why don't you just will yourself to get all this, you know, money or something? And the answer is because that's not what the deep soul level person really desires. The deep soul level person wants true intimacy with people in various different ways, whether if it's a romantic intimacy with your wife, for example, or if it's this true, searingly powerful, almost bodhisattva-like compassion with other people. I mean, those are the things that people really want. So when you learn telemetation, it's not necessarily that you're, you know, all these silly wants that we all have. You know, I want the sports car or whatever. That may not be in our real state that gives rise to telemetation, the spiritual, religious innerness that we are. You may not want the sports car. You may not want, all these shallow desires. You may want something profound and beautiful and spiritual because that's what we really are. So yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. That's a really powerful point there.
Yeah. Now, talking of using our will, is it right or is it feasible to use it to will something for someone else?
Yeah, I've done that. I do that all the time. Let me give you this example. Almost brings me to tears. It's so beautiful. There's a church that my wife and I go to here in town, and this was about 2 years ago, And the mother, there was a mother and a son when we first started going to the church, that I noticed the son was in big trouble. He was obviously looked like pre-autism, and you know, this little guy, and the mother was, you could tell the family was really stressed. The mother was, you could tell, just on the point of breaking. Things really weren't looking good, and I did some hugely powerful telementation to change the boy, and any symptom of autism, anything, completely will vanish. And it did in 3 weeks. It was completely gone. And I told my wife I was going to do it, and she could not believe it. That's one of the stories that made her a believer in all this. And you can do. I found that you can actually do telementation to affect other people very profoundly. Now, I've never heard of an instance of somebody doing it for a negative reason. Now, and I write in the book Telementation, which you can get at antimatterradio.com for prices cheaper than Amazon, or at Amazon, which, whatever, is very inexpensive, fun to read book. But I remember writing in the book, specifically making a point to say that people always ask me, well, you know, can't you take over someone's consciousness, or, you know, will evil or bad things onto people? And the answer is yes, and the answer is no at the same time. The answer is yes, because with telementation, of course, you simply have the power to do that. But the answer is no, because in the telementational mode, and this is hard for people to understand, very hard, because in our egotistical consciousness, we're very filled with spite and little pettiness and little hatred towards other people, and you know, we're bickering with others, and we don't have any idea of what I'm about to say here, because in your telementational consciousness, you are filled with love towards other people. It's absolutely wonderful and beautiful, and it just makes me never a day goes by I'm not shocked that we're all not living at this level, and maybe soon we will be. I think that's very possible. But in that state, it's impossible for you to want to will something evil or hurtful on another person, even if that person has radically hurt you. It simply does not make sense. In a state filled with pure love and contentment and happiness, to some degree, even if just the teeniest degree, you've broken down that ego and are living at this real innerness that we are, you will not have the capacity to will hurtful things on other people. It is not what you are. It's like telling a rabbit to eat meat or something like that. It's not in its capacity. Yes. It doesn't make any sense. So yes, you could will a hurtful thing onto another person, but then again, it will never happen in the telementation mode, because it does not exist.
Right.
It's very beautiful the way our cosmos is.
Right. Can you use the same will to learn to control events in the future?
Absolutely. Absolutely you can. And that's, you can control them in the past also. There was a time when I was still teaching at Purdue University here, I would, have long days when my wife was home with our daughters, and they were very, very young at the same age, and it gets pretty stressful, you know, because we don't use TV as a babysitter or anything. We just, my wife taking, and my wife is very tired at certain times, just after my second daughter was born, and I would, you know, there was one night a week I wouldn't get home until about 11 at night, because I was teaching. I would be working all day, teaching and so forth, and then, so glad I'm not teaching anymore that I had to be gone that much. But anyways, and then I taught a night class, a very long night class, and I wouldn't get home till late. And then I had a decent-sized commute to get home. And I would do telementation on the way home. And the target of the telementation is, my wife has had an incredibly wonderful day all day today. And now I would do that just in, you know, the 5 minutes before I got home. And I would get home. Every single time I would do that, she had the most spectacular, wonderful day with the girls. Mm-hmm. And when every time I did not, she wouldn't. And you see how it's retroactive. You can do things to change the past. Just influence, maybe not say change the past, maybe just influence the past. Now, this may sound strange to people, but if anybody just goes and picks up a book called, I think it's either called Fabric of the Cosmos or Fabric of Reality, one of the two, by wonderful physicist named Brian Greene. And instantly when I say that, many of the listeners will know, oh yeah, I know him. He's one of the most famous physicists in the world. He just simply has in his book discussions of how physicists have discovered how things in the future can causally change things in the past. Cause and effect does not go one way, you know, where just things in the past influence things in the present. You know, if I drop a pen here, you know, I drop it now, and then it hits my desk, so one thing happens before the other. No, in the real world, things go the other way. I mean, how many listeners out there have had a time where you were doing something, and just before, you know, something happened, like your child fell on their bike or something, like 5 seconds before, you knew something was about to happen. Every single person out there knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, so that's a great real-world, practical, empirical example of the future affecting us in the past. It's very beautiful, how powerful. I mean, our consciousness is so much more powerful than that. It's, people have no idea. Just people should study reverse speech just to get an idea how powerful we are. It's just we're all covered up by this personality ego.
Right. Next question, which I'm sure will interest a lot of our listeners. Can we will away pain?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the easiest things to will away, whether you're talking about physical or
physical
mental
pain.
Both,
yeah,
both are very, very easy. Pardon?
Mainly physical pain,
Yeah, if you've got back pain or joint pain or whatever, that should be one of the simplest things to... It's changing physical aspects of your body. Even the book The Secret talks about how easy this is, one of the easier things to do. And one thing The Secret does do well is say, you know, the more believable something is to you, the more successful you will be at it. Now, it's very believable in many ways to think that pain will go away. So people tend to be very successful at just eliminating pain from the body. Now, there's many ways to do it. Even just practical Buddhism can change your physiological state. But if you do it with telementation, having your mind will a pain-free existence, it's very simple. Now, I mean, there's nothing that you can't. The only things you can't do in telementation are things that are logically impossible. For example, make a square turn circle, or make a square circle. I mean, you see how that doesn't even make any sense. A square can't be circle because the two can't exist at the same time. That's the only. I mean, when I see you know, people reading in books about, you know, all these incredible powers like breatharianism and so forth that humans supposedly have, those are all, every single one of them, telepathy, clairvoyance, telekinesis, breatharianism, you know, dream clairvoyance, which happens to me regularly now. These are all different aspects of the one real power of our consciousness, which is telementation. There's really, I mean, if you wanted to, breatharianism is the where you don't eat and where you just gain all your nutrients from oxygen, from the air. Now, there's enough energy in oxygen to do that, and you can transform, and you should be able to transform the basic rudimentary pieces of air into minerals and so forth, whatever your body needs. So, I mean, all of these things are absolutely just second nature in a real, genuine, highly powerful telementation of life. It's just we here in America, for example, and over there too, in the UK, we've got an uphill battle because we're all sort of hijacked by the system when we're very, very young. We're taken into the TV takes over our consciousness, and the public schools take over our you know, creation of our ideas and philosophies and so forth. And we're given all these weird philosophies like randomness and, well, really fatalism, the idea that the outside world, the environment affects the organism. That's extremely popular all through the social sciences like economics and anthropology, sociology and psychology. All these philosophies are just ideas. And, you know, another one is atheism. And these pervade culture. And really, it's I think it was Joseph Stalin who said, give me a child before the age of 7, and I can turn them into anything I want them to be. Now, that we have to apply that comment to all of our lives. We are all, in some ways, you know, still trying to get out of the imprinting that our consciousnesses have undergone since we were very, very young. And so, unfortunately, almost all of that imprinting was anti-telementational. In other words, we were imbued with philosophies that teach us that telementation is false. It's an absurdity. It doesn't exist. There's, you know, all this big money science. That's what has the right ideas, even though it's, of course, it's not. And so it's enough, really, as I write about in my book, Telementation, one thing we really need to do is just sort of the way Yoda puts it in the movie Empire Strikes Back, we have to first unlearn what we have learned, just realize that a lot of the things we've been taught just aren't true. You know, I mean, that matter exists, for example, is a good one. I mean, how do we know matter exists? I mean, our most prestigious science in the universe, called quantum physics, tells us that, you know, all that stuff we think we see, all these surfaces and, you know, this wood surface of this desk here, not really there. You know, our senses are not really doing us justice in the end. We need to get rid of all our conceptions and just clean the slate and start over. That's a good, you don't have to do that, but if you do, and I bet a lot of listeners of this show have the appetite to do something healthy like that, that really helps in learning telementation, I'd say.
Right. Now, Jeff, we are rapidly getting to the last part of the radio program, so I'd like some sort of brief answers to my last few questions.
Okay, good, I will.
What do you mean by your inner starseed?
Okay, excellent, and I will do this. I have a film that I've made, which anybody can buy at antimatterradio.com. I ship worldwide for $10. The inner starseed is a specific, our consciousness is made of these compartments. You know, there's little rooms. Here's a memory room, and here's a feeling room, and here's a thought room, and so forth. There's a certain room in our consciousness, which is the telementational room. We have to find that. That really, my book is an instruction book of how to easily learn how to find that and go to it all the time. It's the most ecstatic place to be. And I just call it the inner starseed because it's basically, the same as the power behind the stars. It's connected to what the power is behind the stars, the seed of the stars. And it's just a certain place when you go to it, you'll see the telementational results happen. And when you don't go there, they won't. So you have to learn, okay, I was at this place and I saw these results happen. I need to go back to that place and learn to go back there over and over, this compartment in your consciousness, this deep feeling area. And that's called the inner starseed. It's the telementational center.
Right. Now, in the few minutes that are left, we should give you an opportunity to give any details you would like in respect of your website address, email address, if you wish to give it out.
And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my website is... Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all right. Carry on, yes.
Oh, okay. My website is antimatterradio.com. There's all kinds of free radio archives, even back, I was actually used to be on BBS.
Did you?
And even some of those are on there. And all my books are for sale, and I've got 3 movies I've made, and all kinds of stuff, just free information.
Right.
And just, I mean, somebody goes, there's a lot of the old free radio shows I think people really like. And yeah, my email is antimatterradio@hotmail.com, and I live here in West Lafayette, Indiana. Beautiful place, and yeah, that's about it right there.
Right, I'm quickly writing those down because I will introduce those in the archive report so that if any people have missed it, they can pick it up there. Perhaps almost a final question here. What do you mean by astral energy?
Okay, the astral energy is, there's many different ways you can refer to that. I tend to just generally mean that this, when you get into the Buddhist meditational states, the mystical states, you tend to start to see a light everywhere. You'll see this in various degrees, a little bit here and there or absolutely all over the place, and at some points you'll see that it's really all that there is. I tend to just call, whether or not this is a good and accurate move by me or not, I tend to just call all of that astral light and astral energy, and it's... basically, the universe has a creator, and it's a mathematical being which has imprinted its nature into the cosmos with all these, you know, golden ratio and fractal structures everywhere. And really, ultimately, this astral energy is what is used. It's the quantum domain. What is used to create this, what we call the physical world. And so it's an ecstatic zone which one starts to sense with their eye of consciousness once they properly. Disintegrate their ego a bit and get into the mystical awareness.
Yes. And I think it's wise to remember a point you made in your book, is that where your focus goes, energy builds.
Yes, that's a quote from a wonderful book called Quantum Touch Therapy by Richard Gordon. I think that's the first line in the book. I want it to be the first line. he says, where your consciousness goes, energy follows. And that, I mean, we all know it's true. I mean, you think of the famous line that many people have heard goes, you know, I haven't thought of a friend for years and years, and I just thought of them the other day, and then they called, and I got an email from them. I mean, we all know this kind of stuff happening. That's just a familiar. But if we look more carefully, our whole lives are based on this, and everything is just a synchronistic, interconnected web, and we just don't notice it because we're not paying attention, and we've been told that reality is chance and random, and the universities tell us this, so we don't stop to notice that, hey, wait a minute, no, everything is, there's this incredible numerological matrix of that we're living within.
Yes, indeed, yes. We've virtually come to the end of the time, Jeff, and I've got to announce next week's guest very shortly. Have you got one final thought for our listeners?
Once somebody starts the telementation of life, you will never understand why you didn't do it before. It's totally filled with happiness and freedom. It's almost difficult for the average person to understand. I suggest just start it little by little. Don't get too ambitious. Just start it, chip away at it little by little, and you will wonder in a few days or weeks, what was I doing before? This is absolutely the happiest life imaginable, and we all have it in us.
That's wonderful. I think that's a very fitting comment to end the program on. I must thank you very much for coming on to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's been extremely enjoyable and very good to hear you talk so positively about telementation. Thank you, Jeff. Friends, that was very interesting. I'll quickly tell you that next week I have a guest, Marshall Klarfeld. He is a researcher who's recently written a book called Adam, the Missing Link. He believes he can prove extraterrestrials created man in their own image. And he believes there are historical and scientific facts that prove that the human race was created by genetic engineering technology nearly a quarter of a million years ago. So I think that has to be a very interesting subject. So thank you for being with me today, and I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.